Say you take Tylenol every day, your liver is gonna be, I don't wanna say more clogged, but it's gonna have more
processing.
Yes, more processing effects there. So that's why you'll find some people that edibles may not have an effect on them because of the way that their liver processes THC. That 11-hydroxy is just immediately passed through.
So in this episode, we are going to talk about the difference of Delta 8 and Delta 9. This is the top question that we get at our company, Canvas Supply Co. I say our company because Liz is part of the Canvas team. She's been with us since the very beginning. She's helped build a lot of the science and formulation behind all of the products that you see on the market. And I couldn't think of a better person to bring on and explain to everyone listening some of the, we're going to high level, some of the differences between Delta 8 and Delta 9. So also to give a little context, Liz has a bachelor in chemistry. So this is, you know, something that she's very passionate about, has a formal academic education on, as well as, you know, a seasoned cannabis consumer herself, so has a lot of personal anecdote to add here. So Liz, can you please introduce kind of high level difference between Delta 8 and Delta 9, and I'll kind of interject as we go.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks for having me on today. I'm super excited to talk about this.
She even brought her molecule set, y'all.
Yeah, had to. So just to start, high-level breakdown, I would say let's start with Delta 8. We can go there. Delta 8 is an isomer of Delta 9. And to touch on what an isomer is an isomer is the exact same compound. So it has the same chemical structure, but there's one bond differing in the structure. So In this case, Delta 8 has a double bond on the eighth carbon chain.
So this is the Delta 9 molecule. Okay, so show them which area on the molecule is different.
Right here.
Okay.
So the double bond would be right here for Delta 8, and for Delta 9, this is where the double bond will land.
So before we go into why that matters, mm-hmm. I want to kind of step back one to isomer, because I think that's important. As we saw in a lot of the legislation things that just happened in Tennessee, that word isomer and isomerization is where we won the argument and like really had to educate on. So can you give us an example of other compounds out in the world that are isomers of each other?
Well, the first one that comes to mind, I would say, would be acetaminophen and methamphetamine.
So Tylenol and meth, and like meth. The drug meth.
Yep. Okay. Yep. They're the same thing. They're also known as isomers differing by one bond. So
love that. So we are... What? That's insane.
Right? It's hard to believe. And there's
so meth has just that one different.
Yeah.
So basically
one different bond, just very, very slight difference.
That's insane. So the pharmaceutical industry was like, here's how we make meth legal. We change this one thing.
Yep.
Right. So we've done that in cannabis too. So we've taken a molecule that has a ton of prohibition surrounding it, and through smart interpretation of the law, been able to bring Delta 8 to the market in a much bigger way. So,
yep.
All right. Meth and Tylenol.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
I don't think I'll ever touch Tylenol yet.
I know, right? I wouldn't recommend it.
Okay, so Delta 8 is an isomer of Delta 9.
Yep.
Okay.
And then when you get into the breakdown into like how that reacts with your body and the differing between Delta 8 and Delta 9, that double bond is going to have a difference between your CB1 and your CB2 receptors. Okay. So where we commonly find that in our endocannabinoid system. Yep. And that CB1 receptor, when dealing with Delta 8, it does not bind to CB1 in the same way as Delta 9. It has a lesser binding affinity there.
So it's like less sticky?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that's how Delta 8 got its name as like diet weed, or the younger, less intense sibling of Delta 9.
So like Bud Light.
Yes.
That's what they would say.
Bud Light.
So it's essentially like touching your receptors less.
Yes.
So it's kind of triggering.
Just like a little tickle.
Yes. Okay, so and that's and that, CB1?
CB1, yeah.
Okay.
And both of the molecules, Delta-8 and Delta-9, will react with both receptors, your CB1 and CB2, mm-hmm. but it's mainly that CB1 that gives her that gives it that less potent or less intense effect.
Okay, and that's just because of the molecule shape.
Yeah,
and so how it attaches on. That's really cool. And so Delta-9, because the double bond is in a different area, it's attaching like stronger mm-hmm. to your receptor.
Yep, it has a greater binding affinity, so you'll get more effects from Delta-9 than you necessarily would from Delta-8.
Unless
we start talking about dosages.
Okay. Which is so important.
So important. Probably the most important thing, especially in our company. We love low dose things.
Yes. there's people that love high dose things here too.
Yes.
And
definitely.
We're constantly at battle. It's like team low dose versus team mega dose.
Always. but yes, whenever you start talking about higher dosages, that's where things get tricky, because then the way that it binds to both of those receptors, CB1 and CB2, you can actually have a greater effect with Delta-8 than Delta-9 because of those larger doses.
And is that because, like, when you add more into your endocannabinoid system, is it, like, covering the receptors more? Or how's that?
Yeah, and that's where the studies come in, and like more research needs to be done with cannabis. We've been so limited on what we can do, mm-hmm. and especially in clinical studies with actual patients. So it's hard to narrow down why those larger doses react with your receptors differently. When mm-hmm. you're dealing with small doses, like I said, they don't hit that CB1 in the same way. But as soon as you start bringing in larger doses, it can vary.
It just kind of floods it.
Yeah, it can vary based on all kinds of personal effects also. So like your liver health, your extraction method, your consumption method, all of those things will vary how it reacts with your receptors.
So interesting.
Yeah.
The second question we get when people are asking us what the difference between Delta 8 and Delta 9 is then, like, which one should I try first?
Yeah.
And so I know we all, I mean, I kind of ebb and flow out of favorites in cannabis, but do you have a favorite between the Delta 8 molecule and the Delta 9 molecule?
Personally, I would say Delta 9 is my favorite, just because of all the experience over the years that I've had with Delta 9. and Delta 8 for me makes me extra sleepy.
It does.
Even in lower doses, I get extra sleepy from Delta 8. It just immediately couch lock is what they like to call it.
I think it's so interesting how unique everyone's experience with cannabis can be. And there's no size fits all, and it's fun, but it can be daunting that, like, you kind of have to try it out and find it trial by error.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Which can be very similar in the pharmaceutical industry. You know, if you go to the doctor and you have a new doctor, like, there's only one way to, or you have a new medicine, there's only one way to test it out is, you got to try it.
Yeah.
And so that's like our favorite saying, start low and slow.
Right.
And that would be my suggestion, you know, whether you're trying Delta 8 or Delta 9, always start low and slow. Mm-hmm. Start with the lowest dose possible. And when combining with CBD, that can also lessen the effects of the THC.
Yeah.
So if you are nervous of where to start or where to begin, you know, I would definitely recommend a lower dose of THC with a higher dose of CBD.
Yeah, I like that, the blend. Yeah. I'd love to also, just because we are talking about consumption and you've got molecules, I know you don't have all of them here, but it's relevant. When we're consuming it through the gut, so this means like an edible, so we're eating a gummy or any kind of just anything that we eat and goes into the gut. Can you explain to me, because you do it so eloquently, what happens? Because now we're talking about a molecule conversion.
Yeah. Once it goes through, say you're talking about an edible. Once it goes through your gut, if you're starting with Delta 9 or Delta 8, those molecules.
They both convert?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, both of those molecules, as soon as they hit your stomach, they're going to convert to 11-hydroxy-THC.
Okay.
And so that you know, you immediately turn into a different molecule there, and then your body has to process that based on how many fats or lipids or all kinds of things that are present in that edible.
And is 11-hydroxy, is it 11-hydroxy alpha or 11-hydroxy? Just 11-hydroxy.
Just 11-hydroxy.
11-hydroxy is X more potent than the original molecule, or?
There are differing factors there with the 11-hydroxy, and it really, like, that's where it comes down to your personal body anatomy.
Right.
Because if you have, like, say you have liver issues where you take a daily, like, say you take Tylenol every day.
Or you mean meth?
Yeah, meth. Say you take Tylenol every day, your liver is going to be, I don't want to say more clogged, but it's gonna have more
processing.
Yes, more processing effects there. So that's why you'll find some people that edibles may not have an effect on them because of the way that their liver processes THC. That 11-hydroxy is just immediately passed through your body, and it doesn't get into your body the same way to where you'll feel those THC effects.
And so that's where that, like, user experience has such a differing range for people.
Yeah. And that's why we need more research and more studies on this, like, in human clinical trials. Because otherwise, like, you know, varying from person to person, you have someone that comes in and says, edibles don't work for me. Well, that, you know, the bud tender may be like, why?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's something, you know, interesting when we're – it's hard to not talk about the, you know, political status of the plant and these molecules when we're talking about this, because – I think while we all want legalization or descheduling, whatever you want to call it, to have access to it in a safe way, I think that access also opens up those research opportunities.
Definitely.
And then that's when you start seeing real innovation start coming around the molecules and what this plant can do.
Yeah.
It's cool. Now, on that political topic, the reason why we have Delta 8 products is because of the legality around it. And so when we're talking to our customers that ask us the question, what is the difference between Delta 8 and Delta 9? We have this, I kick them straight to Liz. We really can now just send them this podcast episode. But we also talk about the legal framework around it. Is like, we are allowed to have the Delta 8 because it is derived from the hemp plant. Now we can derive Delta 9 from the hemp plant too. But we can get more Delta 8 in a hemp product than Delta 9 typically.
Yeah.
And that's why you see Delta 8 more prevalent in, like, a hemp type product versus a dispensary type product that you would get in a legal state.
Yeah.
Okay, so in a previous episode, I was talking about how it's not the actual compound that causes paranoia per se.
Yeah.
And that it's, you know, some kind of, like, preconceived anxiety around taking a plant that's had such, you know, stigma around it or potentially an illegal status in your state.
Yeah.
And I think you had stopped me in the hallway because you had heard me talking about it. And you're like, that might not be exactly true. But can you talk about that a little bit? How, like, cell signaling between the two compounds and that?
Yeah, you're definitely leaning in the right direction. I mean, you can definitely have some paranoia coming on from taking Delta 9, say, if you're in the not legal state yet. But Delta 9, for example, when it reacts with your receptors, the CB2 receptor, to be specific, it creates cell signaling to your brain. If you are already feeling paranoia, or say you're taking this THC, say you're taking a little puff to to relieve your stress, Delta 9, unfortunately, can enhance those feelings.
Right. It can exacerbate it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where it's like, maybe you need to do some breath work before you pick up that joint and, like, tap out of that fight or flight state.
Yeah.
Don't use cannabis to tap out of it. Use breathwork to tap out of it. Then use cannabis to kind of glide through it.
Yeah.
And then, there's nothing worse than smoking a joint or taking an edible and being like, nope,
didn't work.
That just made it worse.
Opposite of what I wanted. I would say that's another one of the benefits, or I think why Delta 8 has become so popular, is because Delta 8 does not create that same cell signaling. that Delta 9 does.
So is it because it's not interacting with the CB2 receptor?
It is reacting with it, but in a different way.
Okay.
So if you want to, it's not as sticky or as much of a tickle. And so it doesn't send the same cell signals.
Okay.
And you won't have any enhancement of the stress or paranoia that you're already feeling.
Right. You'll just have like all the other fringe benefits.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
So what is something that you could leave the listeners with to just really help them hone in on choosing a product, particularly when they're looking at Delta 8 and Delta 9?
Yep. Well, like I said, again, I just want to reiterate, start low and slow.
And what's low for you? Like, what's my low might be different than your low. So what's
I mean, if you are not a frequent user, or even if you are a frequent user, mm-hmm. I would say anywhere from like 2.5 to 5 milligrams.
See, her low is different than mine.
That's a really good starting place. And then depending on if you have a mixture of CBD or anything in there, if the product is THC only, then I would say we're talking 1 to 2 to 5 milligrams.
Okay.
If you've got a blend of CBD in there, then yes, 2.5 to 5. And then if you're a frequent user, you know, 10 milligrams sounds like nothing.
Right.
But definitely start low and slow and just experiment. You know, if you're uncertain about how this is going to help you, or Delta 8 versus Delta 9, like try both.
Yeah.
Try one night, see how you feel, and then do the other the next night.
There you go. Great advice, Liz. Thank you. I'm going to be pulling you into the studio more to have these talks. And we want to hear from y'all. Like, send us your questions. Please visit our YouTube page. Visit one of our social page. Send us a DM. We want to hear from you. What are your questions? What do you want to learn more about? We have an in-house chemist to break down the science of it. And we're going to be bringing some other scientists in as well. So we'd love to hear from you. Send us your questions. Thank you so much for coming and talking about it.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. And in our next episode, since we talk about go low and slow so often, we're going to break down dosage and really get nitty-gritty on how to consume.